from Stoic Wisdoms, the 5 most important skills to learn in 2026. This post is different from what I usually write here. I've been watching the world move in a direction that worries me, and I've stopped being able to write around it. The political landscape, the information environment, the speed at which things people relied on are disappearing. I'm not an alarmist, but I'd be dishonest if I pretended I wasn't concerned. I won't pretend I can change what's happening in the world. I can't. But the Stoics were clear on this. You don't spend energy on what lies outside your control. You spend it on what doesn't. Your mind, your habits, your ability to navigate whatever comes next without being crushed by it, or worse, without sleepwalking through it. What do you actually need right now? Not to get rich, not to optimize a morning routine, not to win some abstract game of self-improvement, but to stay sharp, stay free, and avoid being carried along by currents most people don't even notice they're swimming in. These are the 5 skills I believe will protect you in what's coming. The information environment is becoming harder to navigate honestly. The economic landscape is shifting in ways that punish rigidity. The psychological demands of modern life are increasing, while the inner resources most people have for meeting those demands are decreasing. Without these skills, you're playing a game you don't understand by rules you didn't agree to, and losing without realizing it. I've also included books, courses, and tools for each skill at the bottom of this post, so you have somewhere concrete to start. We are living through the greatest information crisis in human history. There's too much information, and most of it was built to move you rather than inform you. This has always been partially true. Propaganda is ancient. Rhetoric was weaponized long before the internet existed. But what's changed is the scale, the speed, and the sophistication. Algorithms don't just surface content you agree with. They learn in real time which emotional triggers keep you engaged longest, and then feed you a precisely calibrated diet of those triggers. Headlines aren't written to describe events accurately. They're written to generate clicks, and what generates clicks is exaggeration, fear, and outrage. And now, for the first time in history, artificial intelligence can produce convincing text, images, and video at a speed that makes verification nearly impossible. The person who takes information at face value is the most exposed person in the room. The information itself has been optimized to bypass exactly the kind of scrutiny that would reveal its purpose. Intelligence offers no protection here. Only discipline does. Critical thinking is the antidote, but it's been so thoroughly flattened into a buzzword that most people have no idea what it actually involves. It isn't skepticism, which is just reflexive distrust dressed up as intelligence. It isn't cynicism, which assumes the worst about everything and calls that wisdom. Critical thinking is something far more specific and far more difficult. The discipline of asking, before you accept any claim, who benefits from you believing this? What evidence supports it? What evidence contradicts it? Is the source credible? And does the source have an interest in your believing one thing rather than another? These questions sound simple. In practice, they're almost unbearable, because applying them consistently means accepting that many things you currently believe might be wrong. It means sitting with uncertainty rather than collapsing into comfortable conclusions. It means tolerating the discomfort of not knowing, which the modern information environment is specifically designed to make intolerable. Every algorithm, every notification, every breaking news banner communicates the same message. You need to have an opinion right now. Critical thinking is the refusal to comply with that demand until you've done the work of actually understanding what you're forming an opinion about. The beliefs most resistant to examination are the ones that feel the most obviously true. Nobody thinks they're being manipulated by information they agree with. Manipulation feels like manipulation only when someone is trying to convince you of something you already reject. When the message aligns with what you already believe, it doesn't feel like persuasion. It feels like confirmation, like evidence, like the world finally making sense. This is where many people's critical thinking stops. They apply scrutiny to claims they find suspicious and accept without question claims that feel right. But feels right is not an epistemological standard. It's a description of comfort. And comfort, in an information environment engineered to provide it, is one of the least reliable signals you have. The person who only questions the other side's information while treating their own side's information as self-evidently true isn't thinking critically. They're doing exactly what the algorithms want, sorting themselves into a predictable category that can be fed a predictable diet of confirming content indefinitely. Genuine critical thinking is symmetrical. It applies the same questions to information you like as to information you don't. It asks who benefits from me believing this, about your preferred news source, not just the one you already distrust. It subjects your own assumptions to the same standard of evidence you demand from people who disagree with you. This is painful. There's no way around that. Discovering that a belief you held strongly rests on weaker evidence than you assume doesn't feel like intellectual growth. It feels like loss. And most people would rather keep the belief than endure the loss, which is exactly why the information environment works so well at keeping people where they already are. Seneca warned his students about what he saw in Roman public life, people who absorbed the opinions of whatever crowd they happened to be standing in, who changed their convictions based on who spoke most recently or most loudly, who mistook confidence in a speaker for accuracy in the claim. He watched intelligent people surrender their judgment to whoever controlled the narrative, and he recognized it as a form of voluntary enslavement more insidious than the physical kind, because the enslaved person believed themselves free. Nothing about that observation has expired. Crowds are just digital now, and the speakers are algorithms. I wrote a deeper exploration of what intellectual independence actually requires, and why most people who believe they're thinking for themselves are still borrowing their conclusions from whoever spoke last. Since publishing this post, I've published a full deep dive on what critical thinking actually demands in practice, including why the beliefs that feel most obviously true are the ones you've probably never tested. It's one of the most important things I've written here. I've written about attention before, and I keep returning to it because I think it's the quiet crisis of our time and possibly the most consequential. Your attention determines the shape of your inner life. What you consistently focus on becomes, over time, who you are. Repeated attention strengthens certain neural pathways and lets others atrophy. A person who spends 3 hours a day consuming outrage becomes, over months, someone whose mind is wired for outrage. A person who spends 3 hours a day practicing a craft becomes someone whose mind is wired for depth and mastery. The time spent is the same. What it builds is completely different. The problem is that managing your own attention has become one of the hardest things a person can do because the forces working against you are unprecedented. Every major platform employs teams of engineers and behavioral psychologists whose full time job is figuring out how to capture your focus and hold it for as long as possible. This isn't a conspiracy theory.